Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Here's Kevin Holden.
Brian Anderson, kind enough to tack on that little extra bit to the Bill Michaels intro. And it's Bill's show, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, horn in on anybody's turf. I'm not trying to step on anybody here, but that was really funny. Brian Anderson joined us last hour, and he said, you had to go through this whole thing about they introduced Bill, and then you had to say, I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58 Milwaukee, stepping in for Bill today. He'll be back tomorrow, that kind of thing. He said, I could just cut a short intro for you.
Here's Kevin Holden.
That guy's terrific. Absolutely one of my favorites, no doubt about it. Hey, folks, thanks for listening. We've been talking Brewers. We've been talking Packers. We have talked a little bit today about Devontae Adams. We were speaking with Mike Tenier, the NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report. We asked him about this, too. But Devontae Adams mentioned, Joe, and this was to Pam Oliver, right, that he doesn't get enough national respect, which is odd because if you're a lead receiver in Green Bay, that is usually a very high-profile position. It was for Jordy Nelson. It was way back for Donald Driver and Antonio Freeman and back and back and back. But Mike Tenier is one that believes, well, for one, it's a respect thing, and yes, Devontae doesn't get that quite enough, but sounds like Mike Tenier might have Devontae in his top 10 in the NFL at receiver.
I think the top five is kind of occupied. I don't have my list in front of me right now, but if you take your Antonio Browns and DeAndre Hopkinses and put them all together, you're going to get past five. Then there's another tier, and there's a tier with a lot of very good ball players on it. I think Devontae Adams is firmly on that tier with guys that most teams would have as their number one receiver, probably on that tier with guys like Keenan Allen and Doug Baldwin and guys like that. So that's where your premier number one receivers are. He really has elevated to that level, and he's not being asked to do it alone. I know in the past, injuries have caught up to them, but, Cobb is playing well, Allison's playing well, obviously got Graham now. So from a receiving standpoint, this is almost where you were years back when you had that killer team, when you had that Donald Driver, Jones, Nelson, Jermichael, all those guys there. I don't think you're there yet, but you can be close to it. But boy, again, wouldn't it be better to have all that and say we can rely even more on our running game to be a little bit more consistent and take the pressure off those guys?
That's amazing to think about the comparison to 2011, Joe, the comparison to that offense and all the different weapons that Aaron Rodgers had on that offense. And I think part of that is dependent on Jimmy Graham doing some Jimmy Graham things and getting a little help maybe from Mercedes Lewis here and there, and then you've got a couple other guys that can factor into the mix. Randall Cobb will need to continue to be a good source of production on that offense, but Devontae's Devontae, and there's a reason why this all happened in the offseason the way it did. With Jordy Nelson departing, he's in Oakland. They kept Randall Cobb, yes, but Devontae Adams, who leads the NFL in touchdowns since the start of 2016, has got to be considered top 10, yes, in the league. Top five is a question, but he's probably, because of his quarterback and because of the other parts of his offense, I wonder if he doesn't border on that top five, Joe. I'm curious to know where you have him.
I don't have him in the top five. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Not with guys like Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. Tell me how Devontae Adams is better than any of those guys.
AJ Green,
right.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to say Devontae Adams is better than any one of those guys.
That's tough. Those
top five guys are human highlight reels. They're the guys where you're watching a game and you're going, did he just catch that? Are you kidding me? I can't. Davante Adams is making strides. There's no question about it. I certainly put him in my top 10. I think he has definitely gotten to that point. I thought last season, after Rodgers went down, he became Brett Hundley's number one target, and Davante continued to make plays from Brett Hundley. That, I thought, was a huge step for him. And Davante had to work with Brett Hundley, too, if you remember. You know, Davante Adams told Bill last year on the Monday Night Show that, yeah, we had to go off campus to work on the playbook together and find chemistry. And it paid off. And Davante Adams looked really, really good. Now, Davante Adams, I was looking at his numbers over the last couple of years, going back to the 2016 season. I believe he only has 5 games in that 2-year stretch where he's had over 100 receiving yards in a game.
Okay.
His biggest game was against the Titans a couple of years ago. Remember that barn burner of a game where the Titans just lit up the Packers? That was right before the run the table stuff started.
Yeah, right.
But Davante, he had over 150 receiving yards. He had a big game that one. But Davante, he is definitely ascending. The problem is he just can't secure the football every single time. He had a couple key drops in that game against the Vikings, one of which was at the very beginning of the game, where he was trying to, you know, haul in a catch going vertical for first down, and he wasn't able to do it. And the other one that I remember was late in the game where you could have argued there was pass interference called on him, but he still wasn't able to, you know, to secure that football in the corner of the end zone. There's still some things about Davante Adams when it comes to hanging on to the football, but his playmaking ability is very good. His catch and run ability is very good. His route running is really good. He's got those good juke moves that he puts on a lot of these defenders after he gets the ball. Davante Adams is certainly there. I do put him in the top 10, but I don't think he is at that elite level in the top 5 like the guys we just mentioned. I just can't go there. Not yet. Unless he continues to be better securing that football.
855-830-8648. Where does Davante Adams rank in the NFL and wide receiver, in your opinion? Top 10? Top 5? I'm curious to see if there's anyone out there who would knock any of those 5 off the list. Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., and A.J. Green. If you call those the top 5, and there's some debate there, but would he replace any of those even? Because if not, that your top 5 is solidified. He's not a top 5 guy, if that's the case. But top 10? Where is he ranked for you? 855-830-8648. The touchdown dependent is a bad thing. That sounds like a fantasy term, touchdown dependent. But touchdowns are a lot of Devontae's value, and especially last year and in this first part of this year. But that's also been essential. That was Rodgers' lone touchdown pass in the game against the Vikings.
Last season, Davante Adams was 2nd in the NFL in receiving touchdowns.
Wow.
He had 10, right behind DeAndre Hopkins.
How about that?
It is kind of funny. The top 5 last year in touchdowns, total touchdowns among receivers, was DeAndre Hopkins with 13, Davante with 10, Jimmy Graham with 10, and then a nice long tie between Marvin Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, all with 9. And Davante Adams even eclipsed 1,000 receiving yards because, again, Brett Hundley's throwing him the football, but when it came to being a red zone target, Davante Adams, pretty reliable.
That's amazing. And has been the case 2016, 2017, and now to start 2018. So that part of his game, that consistency in his game, is crucial. You're putting points on the scoreboard, and at the end of the day, that's the thing, right? That's the thing that matters the most. Jay in Port Washington, welcome to the show.
Hey, howdy, guys. How are you going today?
Good, you?
Oh, not too bad. I rank Adams up in, you know, I put him in the top 20 in the league. I know you're given the statistics of being consistent, but when you watch, to me, he drops a lot of easy passes, but then he makes these phenomenal, fantastic catches that are a highlight reel. But he's just not consistent enough for me yet.
That's one of the biggest things to put him into a top 5, I would think, would be number of catches, number of yards, number of touchdowns. If you are a top 5, you're going to have to be elite in all 3 categories. And Jay's got the point. Jay, thanks for the call. That it's catches and yards, too. If you're talking that level of elite, it's all of it. It's Antonio Brown who's going to catch you 100 balls almost by accident. you know, with Ben Roethlisberger. And the thing about Brown, who missed Monday's practice, Monday's workout, because he was really unhappy Sunday, he's back at work. He's going to be fine. You know, like if you're a Steelers fan, that's a blip on the radar. It's, you know, it's look out next opponent more than anything else when you have someone like Antonio Brown right there at the top of the chart at wide receiver. Dan in Brookfield, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing today?
Good, you?
Good. Yeah, it's been a good week. So I love the conversation you guys have going here. I would love to entertain the question, would you trade Devontae Adams to get one of those guys that you just listed in the top five? Because if you would trade him for DeAndre, or if you would trade him for A.J. Green, or if you would trade him for Antonio Brown, or if you would trade him for Julio Jones, I think that answers the question. No, I cannot put him in the top five, because I would take any one of those guys in the top five in a heartbeat to play with Rodgers.
Yep, 100%. 100% agree with that. Dan, thank you for the call. That's 100% I would trade Devontae today if I got offered any of those five. If there was any doubt whatsoever on any of the receivers, maybe it's Beckham a little just because of the gruesome injury he suffered last year. And maybe there's a tiny question there, but still, I think if someone came to you and said, if the Giants came to you and said, here's Beckham, we want Adams. Yeah, you got to do that. Don't think there's a question about it. Want to know your thoughts about Devontae Adams. Where does he rank among the wide receivers in the NFL? More of that next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Sometimes a ride around the block just isn't enough. That's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program. You heard me right. Available at any of their FCA locations in Plymouth, Manitowoc, or Stoughton. You can take a ride in a brand new Ram 1500, a Jeep Grand Cherokee, a Dodge Charger, a Dodge Grand Caravan, or the Chrysler Pacifica for 90 days. Best part, no obligation. I'm not kidding. If you're not satisfied, you can return it, no additional commitment, or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. I just went out and picked up my brand new 2019 Ram 1500 from the great people at the Truck Center in Plymouth, and I love it. It's loaded. It's fantastic. Visit VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com, and you can shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program. That's exclusively at Van Horn. That's VanHornAuto.com.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Sitting in for Bill, talking Packers with you. Thanks for tuning in and joining the conversation with us. 855-830-8648. Devontae Adams. Man, has he been terrific since the start of 2016. Touchdown machine. That's why a lot of fans have gotten so excited about this offense now with Adams, with Jimmy Graham, with Randall Cobb hopefully giving you something. I'm not anticipating 2012 Randall Cobb, but
I want to go back though to what Tanier said earlier when we had Mike Tanier on the show.
Yeah.
About comparing this receiving group to 2011. Get out of here. Yes. Said it yesterday. Very encouraged by what I'm seeing from these receivers 1 through 4. But they're not 2011 good. At least not yet.
That was a mythical team. You know what I mean? That's in the folklore that is Packers football. That's a mythical creature, that 2011 offense. Good enough that they won a whole mess of 49-42 games. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Defense was terrible.
Right?
It was horrible.
Like historically bad, and they were winning these 49-42 games. So they were that good that they were overcoming a defense that was that bad. That mythical creature that was 2011, that was Finley and Driver and Jordy and everybody.
Think about this. You had James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings.
Yep.
Donald Driver, Randall Cobb.
Oh, man. Finley.
Finley.
That's incredible.
I don't see how this receiving corps right now compares to that. Again, very encouraged on Sunday by pretty much everyone. I mean, really, if you want to get frustrated with someone, the number one receiver, Devontae Adams, had a couple of key drops in that game.
Yep.
But Jimmy Graham making big plays, which a lot of people were expecting, he did just that. Couldn't take advantage of one of them. And the other one was a big pass interference that I don't agree with at all, but Jimmy Graham would have likely have caught that. I mean, Rodgers threw a dime to him. Geronimo Allison has been very reliable, and Randall Cobb has been a big surprise.
I believe that.
Hasn't he been a big surprise to you?
He's a guy that some were talking about a trade or a release at the end of camp, saving money, that sort of thing, and I think Cobb's just right in the middle of those plans. He's that solid two to the Adams one.
Right.
And then if you get these rookie receivers that develop, you're going to have that deep core again, but the rookies are still rookies. There isn't anyone in that group right now who has the chance to develop in their first year into one of those guys. They may have good receivers down the line, just not right now.
But that's the thing. Should an injury happen to one of these four guys, now all of a sudden, it's time to bring in one of the rookies. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling seems to be the first guy that would answer that call. I mean, he has seen some reps here over Equanimeous St. Brown and, of course, Jamon Moore. I mean, Jamon Moore has been on the inactive list on both games, but that will be a big test, especially if Rodgers can stay upright. Can he find chemistry with a Marquez Valdez-Scantling right out of the gate? But right now, 1-4 does look good, but it's not 2011 good.
No.
It's just not. Agree to disagree with Mike Tenier. I just don't see that happening.
You know what is similar, though, and it's kind of by force, but one of the things that reminds me of 2011 is, you remember how 2011's offense worked? Mm-hmm. Everything was quick drops, quick releases, quick drops, quick releases. They were short and intermediate passes that were just, you know, moving the ball down the field at this incredible pace, right? And Rodgers now, based on his own injury, is having to change the way he plays, and they remind me a little more of the 2011 team with how they pace the offense now, where he takes snaps, how he gets rid of the ball. You know, everything is quicker. It's designed for protection here, but it has that similar feel, you know? Not the same number of people, obviously, not the same number of great receivers, but it still has that feel to me of quick snap, quick release.
Well, it's going to be interesting. The pocket protection on Sunday was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
The Packers offensive line did an exceptional job protecting Aaron Rodgers. There were a lot of situations where Aaron Rodgers had plenty of time to throw that football. And you have faced the first 2 weeks two of the best defensive fronts in the league. I don't really know how good this Redskins defensive front is, but it's certainly not going to be on the same level as the Bears and the Vikings. I don't expect. So when you factor that into an offensive line that has done a pretty good job through the first two games, Rodgers should have more time to throw that football in this game against Washington. He really should. And receivers will get open for him. I honestly don't really expect this dinking and dunking against Washington. I think Rodgers should have a field day with his targets and what he's going to be throwing to. I mean, the Redskins, I don't really think they're that good of a football team. And they have faced off against two chump opponents the first couple of weeks in Arizona and Indy. They couldn't beat Indy last week. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to lick his chops a little bit more. And the offense should be able to open up. Not to mention, too, you get Aaron Jones back.
That to me is an enormous boost to this team. And by the way, there's a report out that Jones will be third on that depth chart at running back for this game. He'll be playing behind both Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. I don't know how long that'll last.
Do you agree with that?
No, not really. I mean, only because it's his first game back and he's had this time in between, but it wasn't an injury, right? He's a healthy body. Mm-hmm. It was not an injury situation.
And he was playing in preseason.
Yeah. So if he plays behind him, it might be for two series. But if Aaron Jones gets off to a good start, a hot start in his first handful of carries, he's going to flip that chart right away.
I thought Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery played well, too.
Yeah, they have done a good job. And that, by the way, the other thing that absolutely has to happen for them right now is they do need to run the ball in some form. It doesn't have to be a game-carrying thing, but you've got to have something because you've got to take the defenses pressure or their eyes off completely on Aaron Rodgers. That's they cannot if a defense is focused completely on Aaron Rodgers, I don't care how good your offensive linemen are, someone is going to break through at some point in some game and the result won't be good. So you got to have a couple of things happen, and running game is the perfect place to start.
I thought Jamal Williams, too, was pretty good when it came to pass protection. He had one block, just a big block. The Packers were driving. It set up a first down for Davante Adams on like a little out pattern, and he got the first down, and they got inside the 10-yard line, I believe. But Jamal Williams had this outstanding block on Anthony Barr. I mean, he just threw his body right in front of him. Barr wasn't able to do anything, and it led to that big passing play to Davante, which would later set up a touchdown. And that was a big deal for Jamal Williams. He's had a couple of moments where he's been able to block. So if they decide to roll with Jamal Williams as starting running back, you might have to expect him to do some more pass blocking, and that's fine by me because I like what I've seen so far out of him.
So that offensively, that group has a lot of options and a lot of possibilities, and it's one reason why you feel like, okay, Aaron Rodgers can survive the next 4 weeks, the next four games. To me, health-wise, it sounds like that's a benchmark for him. You get through four more, that's a month, then you get a bye week, that's rest time to get healthy. And I think then you get Rodgers a little closer to 100%. You don't know what dings he'll take between now and the bye week. But if he doesn't, I feel like he gets a little bit better every week. And then after that bye week, it's old Rodgers.
I cringe every time that man takes a hit. When he ran for that first down, where he slid in there head first, it looked like he screwed up his neck.
Yeah.
The way he got hit there on the ground, I really thought, oh God, he screwed up his neck. He's going to have a neck issue now.
We don't need any more issues, man. No more.
Man of steel. Goodness. So is Davante Adams. He is a head of steel. And I worry about him every time he takes a hit to the head.
Yeah, they've managed to survive. And now, as they add Aaron Jones to that offense, they've managed to add that extra element. Trell wants to talk about Aaron Jones. He's on the north side. Trell, welcome.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing this afternoon?
Good, you?
What's up, T?
I'm doing pretty good. I think Aaron Jones is the best back they got. Of course, he's a little smaller, so I know he's not going to take on a heavy workload. And I like Jamal Williams, and Montgomery is okay. He can serve spot duty from time to time. But Aaron Jones adds a 65-yard, take-it-to-the-house type of element to the offense that defense are going to have to respect. I think the Packers, the next four games, I mean, anything can happen, yes, anything can happen on a Sunday, but the Packers should be on their bye 5-0 and 1 in the tie. And then I think after the bye, we're going to really know what type of team we got with that two-game set, going to Los Angeles to play the Rams and then going all the way across the country to play New England. And I think if they can get a split out of those two and be sitting at 6-1-1, coming back home, I think we're looking at a team that could possibly be shooting for home field. So that's what I'm looking forward to see how they handle these next stretch of games coming up.
That's the truth. Trell, appreciate that. That's a man with some sharp insights right there. 6-1-1 is a goal, but it's also a doable goal if you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers. These next 4 weeks, Washington, Buffalo, Detroit, San Francisco. Washington might be the scariest of the four, and I wouldn't call them scary. It's not really in that category. They feel like four possible wins to me.
I'm not afraid of Washington at all. If between those four teams, maybe San Francisco, and we'll see how San Francisco continues to develop here in the next couple of weeks, but I'm not really scared by what's ahead here before the bye week. I'm really not.
Yeah.
They really could go 5-0-1. In that stretch. I could very well see that.
Boy, if that's the case, too, you got to feel really, really good then. You feel like you survived your toughest tests early, and you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's what you call the foundation of a playoff run type of season, right?
Right, because the middle of this schedule is brutal for the Packers.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, four out of five games coming off the bye that are going to be on the road, and you're traveling between L.A. from one coast, then to New England to the other coast the following week. You have a home game against Miami, and then you go back out to the West Coast to play Seattle.
Short week there.
Right. And then you get a little breathing room, but then you go to Minnesota.
Oh, man.
That's the season right there. If the Packers can survive that, they go 3-2. They're sitting pretty, I think.
Yeah.
But if it's worse, 2-3 is sustainable. But if it's 1-4,
even if you're 5-0-1 coming in, you're 6-4-1 going out.
Yeesh.
That's a little tough. So you hope for wins before the break and sustainability after the break, no question. And after our break, want to hear from Mike McCarthy, Joe? Yeah. Let's do that. Packers coach is going to speak, and we're going to listen next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, picture this. You and a friend sitting VIP plush leather recliners at the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field watching the pack. That's right, and who's going to put you there? Cousin Subs for the best seats in the house promotion. You and a friend could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style each week. A couple of lucky Packers fans, they're going to be chosen prior to each home game for the VIP experience, so you can enter daily through December 16th by completing the entry form by going to packers.com/best seats. That's packers.com/best seats, brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Packers at Washington this Sunday. They'll try to go to 2-0-1. I'm starting to get used to that. Starting to focus on that O and not that one. Okay, I think I can get through this. 2-0-1 does have a nice ring. 5-0-1 has a great ring to it, by the way. But that'll happen this Sunday. The Packers getting ready. Mike McCarthy changed a few things around in Green Bay today, just a walkthrough instead of the normal practice that's open to media. Mike McCarthy did address the media this morning. Here he is in Lambeau.
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
Mike McCarthy, Packers head coach, addressing the media, giving us a little honest assessment of how he will coach players in the wake of the Clay Matthews hit and the fact that not only was it ruled a penalty, ruled something not legal, that it's going to be used as a teaching tool for officials for what does not constitute a hit. More Packers talk on the other side of the break here on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They have care my way, and if something's ailing you, you can call right over the phone, 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe, just maybe, they can send a prescription to a pharmacy near you. And if the best part about it is, if they can't help you, you don't pay. It's pay for play. That's the way they go. That's Marshfield Clinic. Go to marshfieldclinic.org for all the information. The official health care provider of yours truly.
Taking your calls on the Green Bay Packers, 855-830-8648 on the Bill Michaels Show. Ty in Philadelphia talking about Aaron Jones helping Aaron Rodgers. Ty, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I definitely think Aaron Jones is going to be essential to his offense moving forward. I think McCarthy in his press conference today was pretty coy about it, but, you know, he's definitely the best pure runner that we got in that backfield. And I think as far as, you know, redeeming themselves from this tie is just, you know, for the rest of the season, we just got to, you know, win the games that we're supposed to win. And I think our chances to capture what we need to capture for our home field advantage will be there. But the run game is definitely going to help Aaron Rodgers as far as, you know, getting through this injury. And, you know, we've got a big one coming up, you know, down there in Minnesota, man. But, you know, a little concerned about the Kevin King injury. But to redeem this tie, man, for the rest of the season, we going to have to win the games that we supposed to win.
Thank you very much, Ty. Yeah, that's the tie does make you start to feel a little more like anything that's close, you want to make sure that's over the top. You don't want that tie factoring in. You don't want, you know, 10-5-1 versus 11-5. That's the thing you do not want in any sort of fight for any sort of playoff position, seeding, division, whatever. You just don't want that to factor in because it'll leave a bitter taste about week two. Quinn in Racine has an idea of how this team can beat Washington Sunday. Talk to me, Quinn. How you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. I'm loving all the Packers talk. My thing is why nobody talks about the difference in play calling and how it changed this team. I mean, I've never seen any team have such problems getting receivers open consistently. And then Rodgers has to sit back there and everybody like Rodgers does such a great job after the play. It's like, yeah, but Rodgers scrambling around means that play failed. That's what that means. So you look at the first half of the Bears game, pretty obvious. Receivers not getting open, Rodgers holding onto the ball, you know, whether that's 20% Rodgers' fault, 80% McCarthy, I hedge my bets way more. It's McCarthy's fault. But then you look at what happens when Rodgers goes down, comes back in, everything's out of his hands, quick passing. We run through the Bears, no problem. You get the ball in Cobb's hands, Devontae's hands, you get yacked. Same thing happens against the Vikings. We look like a way better offense moving the ball. So, like, my thing is, like, why people aren't talking about McCarthy and how he's kind of been holding this offense back for 5 years now. In 2011, you guys talked about it. You mentioned it. It's looking more like that 2011. Why? Because we're getting the ball out of our hands quicker. So the fact that Rodgers can have more time to sit back there isn't necessarily a good thing.
Quinn, appreciate the call. Yeah, the offensive plan for this team, and it was on McCarthy, and the thought was on McCarthy and the play calling for all those years. With Rodgers in the position he's in, we'll see. Paul Emig is going to talk about it next hour on The Bill Michael Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.